in Revelation, the 21st chapter. Now, I had some questions last week. I don't see the people here today.
I wasn't here.
You weren't here last week.
Last week.
We had questions last week, Bill, and you weren't here. Brother Luis called me this last week and said, "Who's the guy that asks questions all the time?"
This is a good competition now.
You've got competition, Brother Bill. Anyway, we talked about the last 2 weeks, we talked about degrees in hell and degrees in heaven. Degrees in heaven and degrees in hell. And there are both. Degrees in heaven. Salvation is like it is the ticket to heaven. Salvation is the ticket to heaven. But when you go to I don't go to ball games. I don't know if I've ever been to one in my life. I'll tell you the truth, now you may look at me and say, "That's a weirdo." I went to one football game when I was in high school. Some girl asked me to go there, and I sat there and didn't know what was going on. I just hated that thing. Didn't like football at all. They only made me play football because I was so big, and I didn't like it. I didn't want to do that. I liked baseball. That was it. But if I wasn't playing, didn't like it. Anyway, the salvation is like a ticket to get to the ball game. But where you sit has got a lot to do with what you do in this life. Forever. Forever. Hell is the same way. Have you ever known anybody that you knew that was a real good person that when they died and left this world that they just didn't believe in God and you know that that's where they were? That's sad, isn't it? I mean, we think of bad people and they deserve to go to hell. We would like to hurry them on there, you know, some of them. But a good person going to hell. Well, there's degrees in hell also. And people ask me a lot of times, "Well, what about these people that don't know, never heard the gospel at all?" Well, Romans, the first chapter, answers that question, doesn't it? God judges every man according to what light you have. And there is judgment. There are two judgments, aren't there? What are they?
Saved and lost.
What?
Saved and the lost.
Well, the judgment of the saved and the judgment of the lost. And they have names. They have titles of these judgments. The judgment seat of Christ is what? Okay, the judgment seat of Christ is what?
When Jesus judges
Christians. All right, how about the great white throne judgment?
That's the sinners who stand before God.
All right, let me ask you another question. We've studied a lot of things. We're at the end of this study. Does hell exist today?
Yes.
No.
Well, it exists, but nobody's in it.
No, hell does not exist today. Hell doesn't exist today. Huh? The lake of fire does not exist today.
Well,
it doesn't.
I thought maybe it did, but nobody was in it yet.
Well, lake of fire. Nobody's in it. Whatever may. Anyway, no one's in it.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't exist. What exists today? When a lost man, lost woman, when they go leave this life, where do they go? No.
Hades.
Where?
Hades.
Hades. All right. What's the Hebrew word?
Sheol.
All right. Sheol in Hebrew, Hades in Greek. It's very important because those two are the same places. How about Qever in Hebrew? Qever. How many of you ever heard that? Now, I know some of you have heard it before.
Can you put that on the board?
No. And this is a soft B, Qever. It's a B, bait, Qever. Now, what in the world does that mean? You remember that one, Tony?
Is that Hebrew or Greek?
That's Hebrew. Qever. Menemion in Greek. That's the grave. That's the depository for the body. Now, you can dig a cleaver and put a body in it, but you cannot dig a Sheol. You remember that one now? You remember it now. All right. Huh? Yeah? Yeah, it's a grave. All right. Now, you can dig a cleaver, you can dig a grave, a minyan, but you cannot dig a Sheol. Now, your body, a lot of times in the Old Testament scriptures, it'll say that they went to the grave. Well, their bodies did go to the grave. But where did your spirits go? In the Old Testament time, where did it go? It went to paradise or Sheol, okay? Or Hades in the New Testament. And remember, we talked about those places. And those two places are one and the same. Sheol and Hades. Hades means the place not seen. And Sheol, it means the place to ask about it. All right? And that was a place for all lost people and all saved people. But there was a paradise side and there was a place of suffering. Okay? We've talked about that before. But now, Hades or Sheol will be resurrected and thrown into the lake of fire. Who are the two first people that are thrown into the lake of fire? Do you remember?
The beast and the false prophet.
Yeah, that's right. Those rascals in the book of Revelation, the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist. All right? They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And then, after 1,000 years, then we have the great white throne judgment. Right here. Right here we have the judgment seat of Christ. And right here is the rapture. All right? Now, I want you to understand something. We live in the church age. I know you probably, many of you haven't heard this. I teach like an old-time Baptist. That's what I teach like. All right? Old Orthodox Landmark Baptist is what this is the way they taught for last not 2,000 years, minus 50 years, all right? That's the way all taught. J.R. Graves and J.M. Pendleton and John A. Broadus, A.T. Roberts, and all of them, this is the way they taught. That's the way I'm teaching you, okay? We live in the church age. I remember reading one of the first books on dispensations. It's J.R. Graves, Seven Dispensations of Time by J.R. Graves. The church age. We live in the church age. At the end of the church age, what happens?
Rapture.
The rapture takes place. Alright? And all of these people are translated. We have two examples that the rapture is possible, don't we? In the Bible. By two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Who are those two examples?
Enoch and Elijah.
Alright? They were taken up from this earth without dying or tasting death, okay? And for this 7-year period of tribulation upon the earth, all these saved people are going to be up with the Lord. Now, there's going to be a great wedding feast in heaven. That's what we call, and it's going to take place in New Jerusalem. All right? New Jerusalem is quite a place. How big is it?
It's 1,500 miles square. Cube.
How far is it across the United States?
3,000.
How much?
2,500.
2,500 one way, and how about the other way?
Well, sky's the limit.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, north to 1500, south.
1,500.
So, this city, 1,500 mile square city, is almost the size of the United States. In square, if you square it up, almost the size of the United States. Now, how high is it?
Same height.
1,500 miles. Now, if you divided all of that, divided all of it and figured out how many feet is it usually a story?
8 to 10.
Well, let's give it 20 feet, okay? If we give it 20 feet, now that's a good round figure. That's a tall ceiling, isn't it? And with a building and everything in between. Do you know how many stories high that this city is?
No, let's see.
Oh. 396,000 stories high.
How big is each room?
I don't know. About that's how many stories high it is. If it's 20 foot, and that's plenty, isn't it? It could be 400,000 stories high. Just think about that now. You think that's big enough to house all of mankind? From
particularly those that are saved.
Yeah. All of mankind from here to here. That's a lot of people in it. But just think about it. 396,000 stories, 1,500 miles square. Now, there have been a lot of people on this earth. How big is hell? Brother Madden told me one time, thank you, brother. Brother Madden told me one time he didn't think that the devil was going to outdo the Lord in any way. He said they thought he's going to be more people in heaven than in hell. Just think about it for a while.
Well, you look at the world today, you have a little bit, it wouldn't back that up too much.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back and look at things.
I just feel,
do you believe that all babies die and go to heaven?
Well, yeah, sure.
How many babies are aborted every day in America? That's probably the only country in the world almost that aborts babies. But just think about it.
China does.
Yeah, China. Just think of how many babies are aborted today. Do you think any of them go to hell?
I don't know.
How about all the people that are mentally disabled? I think they're under the age of accountability also. How many babies have been killed through history? Millions. Millions. Do you know how many Baptists died? We're going to be studying the church tonight. In church history. But do you know how many Baptists died in church history? And many of them were babies. Between 50 and 100 million were killed. Most of them by the Catholic Church. Between 50 and 100 million. We're covering all the way from the calling out of the church.
Yeah.
All the way to the end of the church age. I mean, we're basically at the end of the church age now.
2,000 years.
Yeah, closely 2,000 years. Now, let's just think. Do you think there's more people in hell than there is in heaven? I still think heaven's got them beat. Through all the time. Now, just look through all the time. How many plagues have killed children all over Europe and places? Killed children. A lot. How about the American Indians over here? How many children do you think died over here from the plagues? How many of you ever heard of the Mandans? Have you ever heard of Mandan, North Dakota? You know that every Mandan Indian that ever lived was killed by plagues, by disease. The armies came in and this was something that they did. They gave disease clothing and food to the Indians to kill them. Smallpox and things. They gave them blankets and they would kill all this, completely wipe out a whole tribe of people. Whole nations. Gone. There were 3,000, more than 3,000 tribes of Indians in the state of California. Think about that. The Catholic Church decimated. There's hardly any left in the state of California. Just think about all these that died under the age of accountability. In this country. Now in Europe, when the Black Plague hit, and diphtheria, and the smallpox plagues and everything, just think about all of that.
Irish potato famine.
Yeah.
I
don't know about them Irish, brother. I didn't think there's any help from them.
I think it cut Europe in half, or was it a quarter?
What?
The plague cut Europe.
It cut about two-thirds of it.
Or a quarter.
Yeah. It cut them. It cut them. I think it was like at least 50 to 60% of the people in Europe died with that plague. Now, just think about this again. Now, heaven is going to be a big place. Now, we, brother, thank you for singing those songs you sung this morning, because that told us about the story about heaven. Well, that's what we're talking about. We're ending up this lesson talking about heaven and hell. That's where we are in the book of Revelation. Heaven and hell. And that's the end of the story, isn't it? Heaven and hell. Once you get to hell, is there any way out?
Well, if you pay the priest enough, maybe.
We're not talking about Catholicism, right? We're talking about the reality. Is there a place called purgatory?
No.
No. That was an invention of the Catholic Church to gain money to build St. Peter's. Just think about all of these things for a minute. Just think about all of the men and all the women that ever lived in the history of mankind. They either went one place or the other. There's no in between. No halfway houses or anything like that. It's either heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. And we talked about degrees in heaven and in hell. For this 7-year period of time, there's going to be a wedding feast in heaven with the Lord and His bride. Now, we studied the book of Revelation. And when somebody does something for themselves, Brother David, you remember this? I'm calling you on now. I don't mean to throw you a blank right now. In Greek, when somebody does something for themselves, the bride has made herself ready. What voice is that in? Do you remember? Middle voice. Now, the Bible is a beautiful book. But every time when it talks about salvation is totally of God. Man has nothing to do with it. Period. But what you do after you're saved is extremely relevant forever. For all eternity. For all eternity. It is. That ought to give you a little bit of an incentive to serve the Lord. Because where are you going to be, whether you're going to be in the peanut gallery up there or down here in the front in the ball game, is what you've done with your life with Christ, in Christ, and how much light you have received. What does it say in the Word of God about judgment? Who is going to have the greatest judgment? Among God's people.
Those that have the most light.
Those that have the most light. All right. So you guys have been in my classes. You're in trouble. Jokingly, but the more light that you have, the more you're judged for. This is fine. It's a fact. That's the way it is. You go through all the parables. I taught a lesson on the parables. I've got that. I don't know whether I'll teach it again or not. But I taught a lesson here on the parables of Matthew 13. The parables all talk about the same thing. The servants. You know the servants, the good, wicked servants and the good servants, the parables of those servants. What is that talking about? Not all talking about salvation. Talking about their standing with the Lord. Some of them produced 100-fold, 200-fold. Some of them produced what? Nothing. And they were ashamed. There's a scripture in the Bible, study to show thyself ashamed. What does that word mean?
I guess somebody said there's going to be tears. There.
Study to show thyself a workman that needs not be ashamed.
Well, if a workman doesn't have the right tool or skills, he's ashamed of his work.
That's right. One of these days, a lot of God's people are going to be ashamed when they come before the Lord. Just think about, you don't have to say, look at somebody over there, over here, look at here. What have you done with what grace that God has given you? With what talents that God has given you, what have you done with them? Think about it for a while. What have you done with them? The talents that God has given you. All right. Where did we finish last week in 21? You remember?
Somewhere around 8, I think.
21 and verse 8. All right. Now we're finding out here who's not going to get into heaven. This is a great big place, this New Jerusalem. But I think New Jerusalem is only one place in heaven. One place in heaven. I think that's the assembly hall. That's what New Jerusalem is. And I believe that God's people are going to be flying throughout the universe. How many of you have to take care of cars today? I take a lot of effort, don't they, to keep them on the road. And then you got to buy a new one every so often because the other one wears out. Well, one of these days, the oil companies and the car companies are going to be plumb out of business. If Jesus was standing in Galilee and after the resurrection, he decided he wanted to be in Jerusalem, what'd he do?
Went there.
He just went there. Just like that. Now, how many of you want to be down on the first floor of New Jerusalem? Huh? Isn't that where the big suites are and everything in the hotel? You don't have to climb any stairs or anything else, unless you got one of them penthouse top views.
Well, that depends upon where you're sweeping or eating.
Yeah. Just think about that for a while. Now, if you were down here on the first floor and you wanted to get up to the 396,000th floor, how would you get there? How many of them gold-plated elevators you think they got there?
Marion.
I don't think there are any. You just get there. And I've said this before, some of you haven't heard me say it, but look at that wall back there. Now, Brother Bill, if you got up, could you walk through that wall? You'd have a problem, wouldn't you? But after the resurrection, you won't have any problem at all or going through that door. Because, now this is a scientific fact now, there is more space in solid objects than there are solid objects. How about you? Scientifically, they say that if they took all the space out of you and all the hot air...
Oh, yes. Wouldn't be nothing left.
That's how much... I mean, you would be less than that big. But it would still weigh 225 pounds or whatever you weigh. Matter is still matter. But if you took all the space... Now, if you, in eternity in the future, and to have an age... We're going to be able to walk through walls. Because our atomic structure and the structure of everything that's solid in this world is going to line up and you'll just walk right through it. That's why Jesus could walk through a wall.
And what's the purpose of having walls?
Pretty. God does things for pretty. You know, how many of you women like pretty things? How many of you women like pretty things?
So I imagine there's
nothing. Do you like pretty?
So I imagine there's not going to be any doors. Don't need them.
There's going to be gates there in that city. But I think they're just for looks. Women, you like pretty things, women? God does too. That's what New Jerusalem is all about, beauty. Just think about the throne of God for just a moment. What is hovering over the throne of God?
Cherubim.
Huh?
Cherubim.
Well, kind of glory.
Glory.
Glory, but it's called the Rainbow Throne, remember? The Rainbow Throne. Rainbow, how many of you looked at a rainbow lately? Beautiful, isn't it? God made that. Why did He give us the rainbow? How many of you remember?
Promise.
We wouldn't have judgment with water anymore.
The earth is never going to be judged by water again. In Noah's day, after the flood, He said, I will put my bow in the clouds. So you know that my promise that I will never destroy this earth by water again. Okay? That's a fact. Now, that's a promise of God. Don't worry how bad the floods come. The whole world's not going to be destroyed by water. How's it going to be destroyed?
Fire.
Fire. All right. Store going to be destroyed by fire. Now, let's go on a little bit more. We'll talk about this. It's hard to just jump through the 21st and 22nd chapter of Revelation. There's so many beautiful things there that I want to show you. And you know what? We know very little about the eternal age. But what it is, what we do know, is beauty. All right. There's not going to be any cowards. There's not going to be any reprobates. Not going to be any homosexuals, it says there. Drug addicts and drug sellers. No idolaters. No liars. They're all going to have their part in the lake of fire, which is also called the second death. And verse number 9, who's got verse number 9? Brother John, have you got that there?
Yes, sir. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
All right. Now, this is an angel that had power over some destructive things. all the plagues. This was like when God plagued Egypt, wasn't it? Now he says, come up and I'm going to show you something. The bride, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't this beautiful? How many of you ever got married?
Obviously.
Some of you. I mean, we got single people here. That bride was very beautiful, wasn't she? At least to you. Yeah, it's beautiful.
She was.
Yeah. The bride was beautiful. All right. Beautiful bride. Now, what about the Lord's bride? Do you think he's beautiful? I heard an old saying one time, pretty is as pretty does. You ever heard of that one?
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how pretty a woman is. If she's got a sorry personality, she may be ugly. I thought she was beautiful until she opened her mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever heard of that term? Yeah. This wife is pretty because she also does something. This bride has followed the Lord's instructions down through the ages. That's what she's done. Verse number 10. Verse number 10. Who's got verse number 10? Luis, you got that?
I do. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
All right. A great high mountain. Now, a mountain in the Bible, that's figurative language in some places, but sometimes it's a hill. But in this place, what's mountain represent? Government. A government. All right? It's the government of God. The great high mountain, the government of God, and showed me the holy city. Now, this is New Jerusalem. This is the holy city. God made it holy. Coming down out of heaven from God. Now, here it is. Coming down to the earth. All right? Out of heaven. All right? Number 11. Number 11. Who's got that? Brother Bill, you got that there?
Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
All right. Now, what color is jasper? I want you to see the beauty.
It says here, crystal clear.
Well, it's got a green hue to it, doesn't it? Kind of a greenish hue. Golden, greenish hue to it. Now, I want you to pay attention, because women, you like beautiful things. All of you women, this will mean more to you than maybe some of you guys. All right? Because girls like to decorate things up. They do. All right? Well, God loves beauty. Number 12. What about this one, Brother Mike?
He had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel.
All right. They have 12 angels. They have 12 gates. And they have the name of the tribes of the sons of Israel on them. Isn't this beautiful? This is nice too, isn't it? This is representing something. I don't think God wants us to forget in eternity future. In the last few weeks, I've studied a lot about God stuff here. About eternity, future. And I have said this, and I've heard preachers say that how many of you have mothers and fathers or brothers and sisters or someone that went to hell? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it for a while. Now, you're in heaven, and the Lord says He's going to wipe away each tear and every tear. And you have loved ones that are in hell, your children sometimes, in hell, grandchildren. How could you ever be happy thinking about those people? And I've heard people say, well, God is going to wipe away that memory, and you'll never know they had them. And as I've studied lately, maybe God won't wipe away the memory. I don't think you're going to get dumber when you get to heaven. But I think you're going to understand more, and you're going to be able to look at it from God's side, from His side. And when you can look at it from His side, maybe you'll understand things just a little better. Then you can leave it be and still be happy.
Well, God loved the world, and a lot of those people have gone to hell. What's
the
difference?
Yeah, that's right. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. 1 John 2:2 says what? Read that for me. 1 John 2:2. This is really good. John 3:16, 1 John 2 and 2. I want you to understand this. This may be, give you a little light on eternity, future. 1 John 2 and 2. You know, that's... 1 John 2 and 2. Brother David.
And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All right. What it says there is that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. But not only for our sins, but all of mankind. All the lost ones too. Now, you're going to hear in Calvinism, you're going to hear a term. Huh?
Election.
Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about right now, election. But not, that's not it. Jesus Christ... A five-point Calvinist believes in limited atonement. They don't believe that you, if you are lost, that Christ died for your sins. But what does 1 John 2 and 2 say?
It's quite the opposite.
It's opposite. Even John Calvin wrote down, he said, this means that God opened the door to all men, not just the elect. He even admitted that Jesus Christ's blood, His ability to cover sins covered all of mankind. But some of them wouldn't come. Now, do you think that God wants to send anybody to hell? No, He doesn't. But He will, because they sent themselves to hell.
God is not willing that any should perish.
No. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come with knowledge of the truth. But it happens, doesn't it?
So if John Calvin said that, why do they say that he believed in unlimited
atonement? They tore that page out of his commentary, brother, and threw it away. They don't look at that page. That's simple as that.
Well, I think the opposite is true of Arminius. He was not one that felt that you could lose your salvation.
Well, all of the students always exaggerate what their teachers tell them. John Calvin's did, and so are Arminius. Let's go on a little bit further now. I'm trying to open up a few thoughts. How many of you are enjoying these thoughts?
Amen.
Yeah. Are these something? These questions you ask in your mind all the time? Have you ever heard anybody answer some of these questions, Sister Andino, in the last 50 years? Well, I'm trying to do my best of what I've studied here over all these years. Some things I just have to say I don't know because I don't know. Okay? And where were we? Number 13, aren't we? Number 13? Brother Bill Davis, you got your Bible open there, brother?
Number
13.
On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates.
Okay, read number 14 also.
And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
All right. Here we have, this city is built on these 12 foundation stones, on the 12 apostles of the Lamb. All right. Number 15 now. Number 15. Wally, you got that one?
Yeah. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates of it and its wall.
All right. And number 16. Go ahead and read that one.
And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal.
All right. Now translated in modern vernacular, that's 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles in each direction. How many stories high? 396,000 stories high. That's a lot.
Big building.
That's a gigantic edifice, isn't it? Number 17. All right, number 17 tells you how thick its walls are. Now, how many of you have a picture of that New Jerusalem that I have? Give you up, okay? I'll try to find some more for you. All right. Tony, are you over there? Can you read number 17 for me?
And measured its walls 72 yards.
All right. Now we find out that human measurements and angelic measurements are the same. We found out a great secret there, didn't we? Didn't make any difference. Number 18, Tony.
The material of the wall was pure gold, like clear glass.
Boy. The wall was jasper. These are precious stones. This city is made, the city is made out of precious stones. Women wear precious stones on their fingers and everything, but heaven, one of these days, you won't want to wear any diamond rings to heaven. Because heaven's going to outshine those diamond rings. I don't care if they're 5 carats. Nothing that man has made or designed on this earth is going to be anything like this city.
Think about gold being pure glass.
Like glass. That you can see through it.
That's incomprehensible.
Yeah. Well, it's these things. God is trying to explain to us how beautiful this city is. Number 19. Tony, you still there?
The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper. The second, sapphire.
Okay. What, jasper is what? A golden green. Sapphire.
Blue.
It's a bluish stone. And the third?
Chalcedony.
Uh-huh. Now, what color is that?
Reddish, isn't it?
It's kind of a flesh-colored stone. All right, chalcedony. And then what's the next?
Emerald.
Emerald. What color is emerald?
Green.
Now, what do you see in all of these? All the colors of the rainbow, don't you? Isn't that beautiful? All the colors of the rainbow. Number 20. Go ahead and keep on reading, Tony. Look at the colors in this city. Now we could go and look at every one of those, but these are every shade of gold and purple and greens that you can even think of. That's all the color of the city. All right? And then in verse number 21, Randy, are you there?
And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl.
Oh my.
Look at this. Now, how old do you think the Lord found these pearls? What ocean?
Probably made them.
Yeah, I think so, didn't he? All right. You know, we were over at Morro Bay yesterday, and we went over there by the oyster beds. How many of you have been over there? All right. I went over there, and I looked down over this wall, and the oysters. Now, that's where you get pearls, you know, down these oysters. The whole shore was completely, total, solid oyster shells. As far as you, millions of oyster shells. Now, they had taken these oyster shells that the birds had or somebody. I don't know how the oyster shells got there, but there was gobs of them. And I thought about how all the pearls that were in those oysters would not make up these gates. And there were millions of them. Millions. But all the pearls. I remember one time my sister was married to a painter. He had a shop. I helped build him a shop out. They were next door to me there. And my sister had some wild children. Very wild. One of them, the youngest one, he was a character. Just about like a wild deer. Anyway, Johnny went out there and Gene Weiner Cadillac at that time. He was painting. He was doing custom paint jobs on people. They would come in and they would buy a car, a new Cadillac, and sometimes they want a custom paint job on it. Well, this one person came into the Gene Weiner Cadillac, and he wanted a white pearl Cadillac. And Johnny went through that thing. It was a brand new car. Now, he repainted this brand new car, and he put this white pearl paint job on it, and he took real pearl. He got some ground-up pearl. I mean, this stuff's expensive. And he would take it, and he would put it in the paint, and they'd mix it up, and he shot this paint, this car, and it was so beautiful, you cannot believe how beautiful. It was flawless, because he was a great painter. And my little nephew went out there, and after he did that, he went outside, and he spray-painted. You know what trunk paint is? Trunk paint? How many of you ever seen trunk paint? He painted this cabinet out there with trunk paint, and then he left a little bit of paint in a can out there. Timothy went out there, and he got his hands in this trunk paint, zircon or something like that, and went in there and wiped it all over that brand new Cadillac.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm going to say something. When the Lord builds these gates, no Timothy's are going to be around because these are going to be flawless, absolutely flawless. Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, Brother Bill.
Is that boy still alive?
Yes, he is. He's a he's still alive today.
That would be a good example of how sin can mar.
That's right. Now, why do you read my mind every time, brother?
Great mind.
Got a good mind. Now, there won't be one flaw in heaven. And you know why, Brother Wally? Because there won't be any sin to mar the creation of God. God created the heavens and the earth. The Garden of Eden was beautiful. But what happened in the garden?
Sin.
And then what do we have? We have weeds. There weren't any weeds. There weren't any thistles. There weren't any goat heads. There weren't any sand burrs. Nothing. Beautiful. Beautiful. All beauty. Well, in heaven, there will never be a sticker. There will never be a mar.
Even no. We won't need any Roundup.
No, we won't need any Roundup. We won't need any polish because it won't tarnish. It won't tarnish at all. All right, let's go on a little bit further. Each gate was a single pearl, and it was gold, and the streets were gold and pure gold like transparent glass. And then verse number 22. Have you got who wants to read that? Have you got that?
Yep.
I'll have one. Randy.
And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple.
Okay, go on and read this. Keep on reading.
And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb.
All right. Verse 24.
The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed.
The gates are only for beauty, because they're never shut.
And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
At the beginning of the class, I told you how I appreciated all of you for sitting for 1 hour and listening to me talk. I'm getting you ready for eternity. You know that? When we go in there, Brother Harold, we're going to have a song book, and we're going to start at song number one, and we're going to keep on going through the whole book. And we're not going to get tired of sitting there and praising God at all.
And the voice is so beautiful.
There will never be a crackling voice or a flaw in our voices, and that choir is going to be heavenly. Just think about that for a while.
Won't even need a director.
Won't need a director. Maybe Gabriel was going to do it. I don't know what's going to be. Who's going to be our song leader then?
My director, but he can't sing.
Yeah.
Angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings.
No. Angels will never feel the joy of salvation that we have.
One commentator made the comment that angels can't sing.
Well, there was some angels singing right out there in Bethlehem that time, wasn't there?
Yep. Well, I didn't know it in Greek, but in says that they said it. They said it. They didn't sing it.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Well, what do you do when you sing?
Singing is just sustained talking.
Sustained talking. All you do is that. That's exactly. That's what singing is. It's just talking. You do it in harmony with each other. Now I'm going to give you some scriptures here. We talked about decrees in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 15, 11, verse 22, 11, verse 24, Mark 6, 11, Luke 10, verse 12, and, and 10 in verse 14. All right, you get all them down yet?
Yeah,
right. All right. There was just a few of them, all right? Degrees in heaven. Matthew 10 and verse 15. Someone turn there real quick. 11 and verse 22. Mark 6 and verse 11. Luke 10 and verse 12. And Luke 10 and verse 14. And then rewards. Matthew 5 and verse 12. Matthew 6 and verse 2. And 6 and 15. And 6 and 16. And 10 and 41. And Mark 9 and verse 41. And Luke 6, 23 through 35. And Romans 4 and verse 4. Now these are just some of the scriptures. We talked about degrees and rewards. Rewards are conditional. Romans 4 and verse 4. Let's look at that real quick. Now who had the 10 and verse 15 earlier? Have you got that, Jess? Go ahead.
I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town.
All right. Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Chorazin and Capernaum and all those, why are those cities going to be judged, the people of those cities, not the cities, but the people that lived in the cities during the time of Jesus?
Because
they saw the Son of God, and they saw His miracles and everything, and they are judged according to what light they had. And boy, what about the light that they had? They had a lot of light, didn't they? They're going to be judged according to a lot of light. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, they had a preacher there that was worthless. Who was he?
Lot.
Man didn't do his job. Nobody believed him because his life was just like their lives. What a sorry witness, okay? And you can just go on, 11:22, 11:24, Mark 6, 11, Luke 10 and verse 12, and 10 and verse 14. Now let's go over to Romans 4 and 4, and we'll see what it says in Romans 4 and 4.
Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due.
All right. All to the one that works. His wages, read that slowly and...
Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due.
All right. Could somebody shut that back door there, please? Somebody's trying to kill themselves out there.
Kids.
Yeah. 4 and 4. Now, God procured our salvation. But nothing that you do for the Lord after you're saved, you're going to do for free. Because the Lord's going to pay you for it. It's simply what it says. With that, our debt to salvation is paid. But what we do for the Lord afterwards is very important. And then it also tells us on what foundation it's built upon is very important. If you build your works upon hay, wood, and stubble, what's going to happen to them?
Burned up.
Or sand. Gone. In other words, it's real important what church you go to, too. Forever. Forever. Forever important. All right. 1 Corinthians 3 and 8. 3:14 and 9:17, 1 John 8. Let's go, 2 John 8. Go to 2 John 8. I'm going to turn you loose here. I had so much in this lesson today that I tried to cram in here.
Continue it next week.
We'll talk about it. We got to get through with this and get over there in the Bible in 8 ages. Because it's going to be good too. All right. 2 John 8. 2 John 8. What do you got there? You got that, David? Nope. Who's got 2 John?
2 John 1:8?
Well, 2 John 8, yeah.
Okay, I've got it here.
Okay.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
All right. Talks about rewards. The Bible talks about rewards over and over and over. And what is 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John talking to us about? About... separating from heresy. That's exactly what it is. And separating from those that have gone astray. Second John, Third John, separate yourself from those that have gone astray, that are teaching the wrong things. All right. Revelation 11 and 18 and 22 and verse 12, and we'll get to that next week. All right. Now, David is gone today, and our other David, I want you to come up here and finish this off in prayer, if you have any prayer requests.